Welcome, welcome back to Breaking Beltway. I'm your host, Jessica Chasmar, coming to you for the very first time, solo and unfettered from the lovely and corrupt Washington, D.C. I'm very excited about this episode because it's my first time as host. We also have some really great music coming up tonight. We're going to rock out a little bit. Douglas Ernst is going to be joining us from the Washington Times via Skype to talk about the latest topics of the week. One thing that I wanted to start off tonight's podcast with is a story that I've covered pretty closely over the last few weeks, and it's about Jimmy Kimmel, ABC, and the Chinese. Now, what originally happened was on Jimmy Kimmel Live, he had a little panel of kids. It was kind of like kids say the darndest things. And he asked what America should do about its debt to China. So one of the kids blurted out off the top of his head, "Kill everyone in China." Okay, and the whole audience laughed, and Jimmy Kimmel laughed, and little kids laughed, and it was supposed to be a cute, funny thing. And apparently that cute, funny thing turned out to be a huge controversy the first time ABC had to apologize because I guess a company had pressured them to do so. So ABC put out an apology, a public apology on the website, took down the segment, edited it out of all future segments, and however, that wasn't enough. A couple days later, Jimmy Kimmel went onto his show and actually apologized himself on the show for the statements that were made in this segment, okay? Still, that wasn't enough. Now the Chinese government, okay, the Chinese government of all governments is now bullying us, saying, "We demand an apology, you know, ABC should apologize." What does it say? "ABC should face up to its mistake and respond with a sincere attitude to the reasonable demands by Chinese people in America." This was a foreign ministry spokesman. So, you know, what started as a joke has actually started somewhat of a movement. People have been protesting the ABC headquarters in both New York and Los Angeles for the last few weeks. They're holding signs comparing Jimmy Kimmel to Adolf Hitler, okay? There are, I'm looking at a picture of the sign right now. It says, "Genocide is no joke. Fire racist Jimmy Kimmel." It has a picture of the ABC logo and also a swastika right next to it, okay? So these Chinese Americans are saying that this is somehow, that a six-year-old or eight-year-old, however old he was, to say some kind of harmless joke is now becoming a movement to get Jimmy Kimmel fired from ABC. Now, what I don't understand is how this can possibly be pinned on Jimmy Kimmel. He didn't say it. It was a little child who said it. It was ABC who aired it. And the apologies have been made. Now the Chinese government wants an apology. They want Jimmy Kimmel to be fired from his position. And this is a problem. This is a serious problem. A, we have the Chinese bullying us again. And B, we have this free man in a free society who is facing all of this public backlash for something that he didn't even say. That's a problem in America, that we have the First Amendment. We should be able to say what we want. And ABC should have a responsibility to stick up for their host, for somebody who makes them money, obviously. Jimmy Kimmel also, I think, has a responsibility to stick up for his country and stick up for those children and stick up for the values that made him famous and that made him rich in this free society, that gave him the ability to say things like that and put things on his show like that. There is a very, 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 very big importance on the First Amendment and sticking up for our rights to bullying, dictating communist countries that have absolutely no say over what we should put over our airwaves. And I know that it's a lot more complicated than that. You have advertising, you have this and you have that. I understand. But at a certain point, you have to stop being a slave to your employers and stick up for what's right. He's been completely silent on the issue except for that one little comment, that one apology. And I find that annoying because remember The Man Show? Remember Adam Carolla from The Man Show that Jimmy Kimmel was founded for? Well, Adam Carolla is a huge libertarian, and he's been very, very vocal. And I think that's important, and not just because he's a libertarian, and that makes me very happy. But standing up for our rights as Americans is also very important, and I understand the grievances of Chinese Americans. I understand that. I do not understand where the Chinese government gets off telling us that we need to apologize and that we need to fire somebody from ABC. That's just not going to happen, and that's ridiculous. And if ABC does fulfill that order, then I think there's going to be a huge boycott. And actually, I just found a clip of the segment. So as a big middle finger to the Chinese, here it is on Breaking Beltway.
America owes China a lot of money, $1.3 trillion. How should we pay them back?
You came and die the way over and kill everyone in China.
Kill everyone in China.
Yeah.
Okay, that's an interesting idea. Yes.
Put a huge wall so they can't come to us.
You're saying build a wall in China? A huge, great kind of a wall?
Yeah.
That would never happen.
A huge time.
Allie,
you hate it.
When you owe someone money, should you pay them back?
Never.
Well, then they won't lend you money anymore.
And that's the problem.
Should this country be forced to pay our own debts?
Yes!
Yeah, but you just said kill everyone in China a little while. What happened to that? Should we allow the Chinese to live?
Yes! But if we don't allow them to live, then they'll try to kill us.
But then they will all be killed.
Well, this has been an interesting edition of Kids Table, the Lord of the...
So there you have it. Offensive or not, I'd like to think not. It seemed pretty innocent to me. But with that, we're going to take a quick musical break. We're going to go to the Black Keys with Lonely Boy. We'll be right back. Welcome back. You're listening to Breaking Beltway. I'm your host, Jessica Chasmar. In the last segment, we were talking about being offended for no good reason. And I actually reported on a video from the Media Research Center's Katie Yoder. She also works for CNS News. She shot this video on the Supreme Court steps. And basically what she saw, it was during the hearing of the town of Greece versus Galloway. And basically what she saw was a group of Christians having a planned prayer vigil. It had been planned for weeks. And actually they were being shouted down by a group of atheists and secularists who basically believe that prayer has no place in the government, including on the public grounds of the Supreme Court steps. Here's the video.
Our view is simple. Let every tradition, whatever that faith tradition is, be allowed to express their views and their values without fear of government intimidation or harassment. Love the fact that the atheists are here. It's awesome. We would not want to censor them. We would not want to censor any Muslims who would be here or any other faith traditions or non-faith traditions that I might not share.
God does not exist.
Okay, so we're going to go ahead and pray because in Virginia, I mean, in the United States, that's why we live here. We all have our rights. Everyone has the rights for their signs. Everyone has the right to believe the way they want. And here, this is how we believe. And this is why we are going to start, because with the arguments opening right now, we would like to pray for each of the justices.
Amen. It's too bad that they misunderstand this case so completely, because no one is ever called.
The scriptures say,
what an extraordinary country we live in, Father. And Jesus, we pray and we thank you and we bless you. No, it doesn't, but it does make our position heard a little bit. So, Father, we're praying until 11. After 11, listen, I understand. Right, the difference with us is we welcome you in public places. We're not isolationists. We're not bigoted. We're not narrow. We're open. No, we're praying right now. You can do what you want, your PA, whatever. No, we're praying. Don't interrupt our service. We'll be happy to talk to you at 11 o'clock. You can be free to do what you want. That's the beauty of America. And then we'll talk at 11 o'clock.
The New Testament says, Matthew chapter 6, verse 5.
Okay, now let me explain what's going on in that video. In the town of Greece versus Galloway, two female residents of the town of Greece, which is in New York, they argue that the specifics of their town's policy of starting board meetings with a prayer violate the separation of church and state. And of course, the town argues that the prayer fits squarely in the tradition of legislative prayer, which the Supreme Court deemed constitutional in 1983. So the Christian Defense Coalition sponsored this event to be held on the Supreme Court steps. This was a couple weeks ago. And all they wanted to do was pray for the justices to allow legislative prayer to still be in existence. And they were basically, it was Reverend Patrick Mahoney of the CDC and some woman. They were both kneeling on the ground, praying, with their heads bowed. And there's a group of atheists behind them with these signs, and they're standing over them, interrupting their prayer with, you know, religion is mythology, and keep your theocracy off my democracy, and all these other slogans. And, you know, I realize that they have every right to be there. This is a public area. But what they don't realize is the Christians have every right to be there, too. And what I don't understand is this separation of church and state. However, we still have the First Amendment. And the First Amendment grants us the freedom of religion, not the freedom from religion. And I feel like these militant atheists, they want freedom from religion. They want to sterilize this country of everything that is good and sacred. They want to sterilize you. They want to sterilize our legislature. And we're seeing it here. We're seeing it right in this video. These people can't even hold a simple prayer without being shouted down by these militant atheists who don't really know what they're shouting about. Shortly after I wrote this story, I was actually contacted by a woman with the Secular Coalition for America, which she describes as organized atheists, agnostics, humanists, and other secular Americans. And she basically had a huge problem with my story because of the way it painted atheists in a negative light, which, you know, it wasn't quite clear who organized the atheist event, so I did not even mention the Secular Coalition for America. I didn't mention any atheist organization. I simply mentioned atheists in general. And but she had a problem because I painted, you know, militant atheists in a bad light because of this video. The video clearly, you know, it doesn't lie. And you all heard it here. They were shouted down consistently throughout their prayer. So she sent me a couple of pictures that show them with their mouths closed. She's like, oh, look, their mouths are closed behind the people that are kneeling. But, you know, I have a video. So thanks, Katie Oder, for getting that video, because we definitely pissed off the Secular Coalition for America. And you know, it's funny because there they were shouting down these Christians at this event. And here she is, this woman with, you know, this organization trying to shout me down. The subject line is correction request. So she's trying to get me to change my article to paint atheists in a more positive light. Which, you know what? That's not my job. My job is to report on the facts. I had a video. I had personal accounts of what happened at the event. And I had photos. And it clearly shows that they were being shouted down. And that is my job as a reporter to report the facts. It's not my job, however, to paint anyone in a positive or negative light. You know, whatever happened to the good old days when liberals were supposed to champion First Amendment rights? That doesn't exist anymore. It doesn't exist anymore. They want freedom from religion. They don't care about freedom of expression or speech. They pretty much want to control everything you do. You can't pray on the public steps of the Supreme Court. What kind of America is that? It's not. And they deserve to be written about in whatever light they decide to act on. So that's what I did. And the Secular Coalition for America definitely needs to reevaluate its priorities. With that, we're actually going to go to another break. This is one of my favorites. I love Robert Randolph and the Family Band. I've met these guys several times in Florida. I Need More Love. You're listening to Breaking Beltway.
Thank you.
back to Breaking Beltway. I love those guys. I actually met them once at Wani Fest on the Suwannee River in North Florida for a three-day music festival where the Allman Brothers played two nights in a row. It was pretty amazing. And I met Robert Randolph again once in Gainesville at a club that I used to go to school, or near I used to go to school. But one thing that a lot of you may not know about me is that I am a musician myself, and that's a big reason why music is so important to me. I've been playing guitar since I was 12. One of the first songs I ever learned how to play was Take It Easy by the Eagles. And that's all thanks to my guitar teacher. I won't embarrass him on here, but I definitely wanted to share a little bit of my world with you guys, my musical world with you guys. I actually released a CD in 2006 titled Drifter, and this song, Believe, was, I believe, track three, but it was also picked up for a compilation with Quickstar Productions. So here it is. I hope you guys like it. This is your very own Jessica Chasmar with Believe.
Feel me.
having played that, I'm realizing that it sounds like I was the lead guitarist. However, that is not the case. I am not that good, people. I am a rhythm guitarist. I actually have to give the credit to Bruce Dana, my producer, who helped me put that CD together, which is awesome. So he deserves that shout out. You're listening to Breaking Beltway. In this next segment, Douglas Ernst is going to be joining us from the Washington Times via Skype. I wanted to talk about this disturbing new trend that the inner city kids are now playing called Knockout, where basically the name of the game is to find someone walking alone by themselves and punching them in one blow to make sure that they're knocked out. Take a listen.
It's called a one-hit quitter. You try to hit with one swing and knock them completely out.
What is Knockout?
The game Knockout is like when people bought it. Like, they all try to see where their hands goes at, and whoever comes walking down the block, the sun, they just knock them out.
You just knock them out, you hit them with a blow, you take their belongings.
Knockout is like when you just punch somebody and they knock, like, they go to sleep when you hit them.
And they hit them.
Why?
Because they think it's funny.
They think it's funny, like...
They think it's amusing, that's what they think.
It's just more like picking a target that is alone, defenseless, they just go, boom. When it's the right time and the right place.
It's not anger, it's...
No. It's just something people boil like.
It just sound like you just can't be around the wrong crowd, because the wrong crowd, they'll gas them up the door.
They just want to see if you got enough strength to knock somebody out.
It could be anybody. It could be a mother with her children. It could be a guy. I know one time they got the UPS guy.
What's the point? I mean, really, is it just a macho thing of kids?
It's a macho thing.
Geez, now if that's not cultural decay, I don't know what is. We're here with Douglas Ernst joining us from the Washington Times, a colleague of mine. He's joining us via Skype. Hi, Doug.
Hi, Jessica. Thanks for having me. I have pretty big shoes to fill with Kat not being here, so.
Well, we're definitely glad to have you contributing, especially for my first show solo. That's kind of exciting. You wrote about this Knockout story on your blog at douglasernstblog.com. Why don't you tell us a little bit about this trend?
Sure. Well, basically what you have is these kind of teenage thugs going around around Jersey City, I think Hoboken, that sort of area, northern Jersey.
Mm-hmm.
And they look for unsuspecting people and just kind of come up to them and punch them. And it doesn't matter whether it's women, young people, just random innocent people, they come up to them in packs and punch them.
And it's hard to kind of describe what this looks like to the audience because they can't see this video, but it shows this man walking down this alleyway with a briefcase just minding his own business, and he's walking by these five or six young, probably teenagers, black teenagers just hanging out in this alleyway, and one of them just dodges to the side and knocks him out cold. He doesn't even have time to brace himself or anything, and he is just out cold, and you see them all jumping around and celebrating, because that's the point, is to knock them out.
Right, it was just this teacher, I guess his name is James Adelberger, and minding his own business. Imagine you're just walking down the street, coming out of, you know, the grocery store, and you're walking towards your car, and out of nowhere, a fist comes flying and hits you in the face.
Unbelievable. And there's no way for these people to even prepare, because a lot of times they run up from behind you.
Right, exactly. And that's the thing. They say that it's some sort of, like, macho thing, but to me, like, nothing is more cowardly than that. They're going in packs like animals, and then they're going after defenseless people, like I said, including women. It's just one of those things where you want to talk about the culture that created this sort of thing, but everybody's afraid to do it.
Sure. I mean, this hasn't even been covered. I saw it where on Hot Air, was it? And then on your blog, who has even reported about this? It's because they're afraid, I guess.
Yeah, I haven't seen too many people report on it. I mean, imagine if this teacher fell to the ground, pulled out a gun, and shot a couple of these kids. You had the George Zimmerman case all over again.
That's right. That's true. One of the clips was really disturbing because it showed a woman just walking and a man, a single man, just running up from behind her, punching her in the side of the head, and she knocks out cold, her stuff goes flying, and he runs away. And I'm just thinking about all the times that, you know, I'm walking around D.C., you know, and I'm never, you know, I never have earphones in or anything like that. Like, I try to stay aware of my surroundings, but, you know, she could have been as aware of her surroundings as she possibly could have been, and there was just absolutely no protecting yourself from that kind of an attack.
Right. I wrote about in 2011 on the Green Line, the Metro Line in Washington, D.C., there was a guy named Alan Haywood. I think he was a florist, and he was just minding his own business, and basically the same thing kind of happened to him, although they didn't blindside him. They just basically tried to start a fight with him, and it was a very similar situation. It's not just something that's, you know, taking place in New Jersey. Mm-hmm. It's kind of a broader type thing, and they post these sorts of video on a website called World Star Hip Hop.
Oh, so it goes viral that way, and then people
right.
copycat.
So you can find these videos on that particular website, things that are very similar to that. And people are scared about the racial element to it, but I know that, you know, you could go to any country, you walk down the wrong street, go to the wrong neighborhood.
Sure.
It doesn't matter whether you're black, white, Asian, whatever, you know, bad things could happen to you. But I think it's interesting that in the United States, in these urban areas, you have, you know, kids that are perfectly okay. I mean, they're on video saying, oh, it's just fun, it's a joke.
Yeah.
You hit them and they go to sleep. You know, that's like something you
yeah,
tell a 5-year-old.
That comment was unbelievable. Yeah, they go to sleep when you hit them. It's like, yeah, they're not sleeping, sweetheart.
Right. That's like, you know, if she was talking about rape, she would call it wrestling. It's kind of sick that that's what they liken it to, sleeping.
So what do you think is causing this? Is it just boredom? Is it, I mean, why are these kids doing this?
I mean, well, that's the thing. Once you start talking about a society that produces these sorts of people, you look at, you know, where are the parents? Is there a father in the house? Is it a single parent?
Likely it's going to be single parents, you know?
Right. So, you know, and then that brings up all sorts of other
racial undertones that you can, you know, get in trouble for talking about. But you know what? This is Breaking Beltway and we're going to talk about it. I don't care.
Right. And like I said, it's not necessarily just, you know, a thing that's happening within black culture. I mean, if you look at white out of wedlock birth rates, Hispanic out of wedlock birth rates, they've all shot up over the past few decades.
Mm-hmm.
So if there's a correlation between, you know, not having fathers in the home and, you know, weird behavior, then you're going to see more of it within whether it's the white community or Hispanic community. So it's something that needs to be talked about, but nobody does.
Yeah, yeah. And a big takeaway from all that, especially to our female listeners, is just to be aware of your surroundings. Never walk around with headphones in your ears. Never be talking on your phone. Walk confidently, like you know what you're doing and where you're going and all that good stuff. We're actually going to take a quick musical break, and we need to lift the spirits a little bit because that cultural decay story is depressing. So here we go with Ben Harper, When It's Good.
That I never make. Heard me laughing, you heard me weeping more. When it's good, it's so, so good. When it's gone, it's gone. They say that time will kill the pain. I say the pain is gonna kill my time. Lord, won't you save me or leave me alone? 'Cause when it's good, it's so, so good. When it's gone, it's gone. Oh, gone. I could never be here.
and it's gone, it's gone.
Breaking Beltway. I'm your host, Jessica Chasmar. I'm here with Doug Ernst from the Washington Times. Doug, you wrote a story for the Washington Times about a Pentagon manual that described white Christian heterosexual males as having an unfair advantage over other soldiers that are not white heterosexual Christian males. So why don't you tell us a little bit about that, more of this white privilege nonsense that's in our military?
Sure. So I guess they're teaching officers now at the Pentagon. These are the people that are going to be leading our war fighters. There's a 600-page manual that says that healthy white heterosexual Christian men hold unfair advantages over other races. And then I think they mentioned something like a black homosexual atheist female in poor health, which is kind of interesting. But that's the kind
in
of
poor stuff health, there. Right? In poor health, like
in
okay.
poor health, which is also interesting because if she's in the military, why does she have poor health? She has to at least pass a certain
right.
physical standard, so that doesn't really make any sense. But you know, it was one of these things where having years ago, I was in a mechanized infantry unit, and no one cared about your race. It's like if the guy next to you, if you're going to be deployed with him or be in a situation where you might, you have to depend on that guy for your life,
yeah.
you don't really care if he's black or Hispanic or Asian. It makes no sense. And so what they're telling these people is like, hey, the guy next to you that you're trusting with your life, he might subconsciously hate your guts. So
yeah.
don't trust him. It's kind of a recipe for disaster.
Absolutely. And in a situation like that, I mean, like you said, you wouldn't care who if somebody's going to save your life or not, or in a deadly situation like that. It's just it's confusing why this is being taught. Where was this manual brought up? This manual in Florida, I think I read.
Right, it's the Defense Equal Opportunity Management Institute.
Uh-huh.
So they have these different places where officers go to, acquire the skills to lead other soldiers. And these are the people that, deal with complaints about this sort of thing, if someone has like a complaint about racism or whatnot.
Right.
And I'm not saying that the military is perfect. Any sort of man-made institution is going to have problems. But my thing is that they're telling, like, one of the sections on, quote, power and privilege tells them to, quote, assume racism is everywhere, every day.
Oh my God.
So, if you were going through life and every person you talked to, everywhere you were looking for racism, I don't even know how you would function. And I don't know how you would function on a battlefield like that.
Yeah, and why are we trying to bring all these societal and cultural norms into the military anyway? I mean, what kind of place does any of that even have in the military? And why are we talking about it? I don't understand any of that. I don't understand, the whole don't ask, don't tell, any of that. It doesn't make any sense to me. And trying to...
Yeah, I think it's one of those things where, I'm not trying to put on like a tinfoil you know, cap or anything, but I mean, liberalism kind of took over academia. They've taken over Hollywood, the entertainment world, in for the most part, but they never could really get a foothold in the military.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's like the holy grail. If you could kind of,
that's true.
Destroy the military from within, kind of like termites or something like that, with these weird sort of, you know, you're subconsciously racist, and you know, the black unhealthy homosexual atheist needs to be promoted just because she's a black homosexual atheist in poor health, you know. They would love that sort of thing.
Yeah.
But I mean, they're going to face a lot of pushback for the most part, especially in certain military occupational specialties like infantry. It's just not going to fly. Those guys aren't politically correct, and they never will be.
Right. I mean, from your experience, I mean, I'm assuming that you would know, being in the military yourself, how that sort of thing would fly.
Right. There's, like I said, there's a lot of resistance to that. I mean, it's one of those things where there's a lot of, I should say, quote, manly men, and you better be able to take a joke, and you better be able to take a joke that's not politically correct.
Right.
I don't think they would be too friendly towards someone coming in saying you can't make a joke about atheists.
Yeah, that's true. Because, you know, everybody should be up for a fair game, you know? And anybody should be fair game, and that's not just in the military, but in life.
Right, that's why I always loved the military. It's one of the few places where they don't really accept excuses.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone is fair game. Everyone gets made fun of, and you have to take it, and then you learn how to give it just as much as you take.
And that builds character, and a lot of times that builds character, and that's why a lot of people are now part of the pro-bullying movement.
Yeah, I just, like I said, I'm just worried about the long-term ramifications for this sort of stuff.
Yeah, as we should be. Doug, actually, this is one of your picks. We're actually going to take a music break. Tell us a little bit about this Jack White, one of his bands.
So anybody who knows about Jack White knows he's a great musician, but he also has, you know, a million side bands going at one time. And one of them is The Dead Weather. This particular song is called Blue Blood Blues.
Trace, da 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 da, I wanna trace. If I left you, woman, you know, I wanna leave a trace.
And welcome back to Breaking Beltway. I'm your host, Jessica Chasmar. We're here with Doug Ernst from the Washington Times. Doug, you wrote a story about Mr. Alec Baldwin, the gift that keeps on giving to the paparazzi. What did he do this week?
Sure. Well, he just had a court victory. There was a stalking case, and he won that. And shortly afterwards, there was a photographer who got too close to his wife. He got upset, chased him off, and again, this is Alec's words, not mine. He called him a cocksucking faggot.
Ooh,
which he
dang.
Then later tried to say that audio, I don't know, he tried to say that it was scientifically proven.
Acoustic analysis.
Yeah, acoustic analysis proved that he really said, again, Alex, not me, cocksucking fathead, which makes absolutely no sense.
Yeah.
And now, I guess, MSNBC has suspended his show for 2 weeks.
Oh, that's new. I hadn't heard that part, because I was like, oh my gosh, this is supposed to be a liberal. He's on MSNBC. He has his own show. And here he is throwing out all these homophobic slurs. This isn't the first time he's done this, you know?
Right, and there's actually another addition to that. Yesterday, he got into, like, this screaming match with a Fox reporter who he said assaulted his wife and almost chipped her teeth, but then the video showed that that didn't even happen. So he just came across as, like, a raving lunatic.
And he is, and that's why the paparazzi love him. They keep following him. They follow him because he blows up on them, and he blows up on them because they're following him. He's just an idiot. He doesn't understand that that's exactly what they want out of him. And now he's trying to say that he said fathead, which makes absolutely no sense. The acoustic analysis does not lie.
even if he did say fathead, the original, the full quote, he's still kind of using the person's, quote, their gayness against them.
Yeah.
Because of the sucking line.
Uh-huh.
And then I was trying to think about, like, what exactly fathead was. The only thing I could come up with was, like, people with genetic disorders mm-hmm. or disabled who have, like, large craniums. So maybe he's, like, making fun of disabled people and gay people at the same time. I don't know.
Oh, man, I love this segment of the show because we get to talk about just idiots, and there's plenty of them. And another one is another MSNBC host, Martin Bashir. He actually, he loves to rip on Sarah Palin, which I don't really understand because Sarah Palin is pretty marginalized. I mean, she's not, you know, she's not really that relevant to be ripping on right now, but Martin Bashir loves to do it. I guess Sarah Palin, she was talking about our debt to China, and she said that when the note comes due to pay back our debt, it's going to be like slavery when that note is due. And Martin Bashir just went crazy over this slavery comment, saying, how dare you compare that to slavery? She's obviously comparing it to, you know, if China were to take us over or take back or take land or whatever to claim its debt. But he's basically saying that she's actually, comparing it to slavery is abominable because of this diary from this man called Thomas Thistlewood, and he goes into this diary. He talks about the horrible torture that this man went through on this plantation during slavery. And basically, this is a quote from Martin Bashir. He said, in 1956, he records that a slave named Darby, eating canes, had him flogged and pickled, then made Hector, another slave, S-H-I-T in his mouth. This became known as Darby's dose. And I'll play the rest for you right here.
and he mentions a similar incident again in 1756, this time in relation to a man he refers to as Punch. Flogged Punch well, and then washed and rubbed salt, pickle, lime juice, and bird pepper. Made Negro Joe piss in his eyes and mouth. I could go on, but you get the point. When Mrs. Palin invokes slavery, she doesn't just prove her rank ignorance. She confirms that if anyone truly qualified for a dose of discipline from Thomas Thistlewood, then she would be the outstanding candidate.
There you have it. Martin Bashir wants to piss and defecate into Sarah Palin's mouth.
Yeah, he's the lord of the metaphor. You can't use metaphors unless you pass it by him first. So, you know, anytime you make a something along the lines of war or slavery, I guess he's the final authority on that matter.
Is that not the most amazing thing? I mean, could you imagine if a Fox News host said something like this? I mean, nobody even watches MSNBCs except for opposition research. You know, I watch MSNBC. I doubt people actually watch it for information. But do you think anybody would get away with this on Fox News saying something like this?
No, it's just like the Alec Baldwin thing. Like, you know, granted he was suspended for a couple weeks, but it's like a little slap on the wrist.
Yeah, and you're supposed to be a champion of LGBT.
Sean Hannity or, you know, Mark Levin or whomever, you know, said that, I don't know, Barack Obama, someone should defecate in his mouth because he's ignorant.
Ugh, unbelievable.
It would be a national story for probably through the next election cycle.
And not even that, just the horrible visual that you get from it. You would think that, you know, champions of women's rights or feminists would be outraged over a statement like that. It's disgusting and it's ignorant. And to say that about Sarah Palin, I mean, she's not...
Well, the thing is, on multiple levels, if you are beholden to someone because of debt... they control your future, you are like a slave.
Exactly, that's all she's
obviously
saying.
Obviously, it doesn't, like, completely... It's not going to be a perfect analogy or a perfect metaphor, but there are aspects of it that are true. And
yeah,
to say that you can never talk about slavery because, you know, someone had to go through these sorts of cruel and unusual things, it doesn't even make any sense. But then he takes it to another level and says that should be done to her.
Yeah, I mean, if he were to just stop there and be like, okay, you know, slavery is a horrible thing, and God forbid slavery to the Chinese, who's to say it wouldn't be any worse than what Thomas Thistlewood went through? But then he doubles down and says that Sarah Palin should have this done to her. I mean, that's just disgusting and rank, and for him to have his own show and to have this kind of a platform to spew this nonsense is just disgusting. He needs to stick to doing reggae and being a rap artist like he used to be. Go back to reggae, Martin.
In a reggae band.
Yeah, go back to reggae. You were better there. You're actually a pretty good reggae artist, and now you're just a horrible, disgusting, despicable human being. You don't say that about women. I'm sorry. You don't say that about anybody. If we're going to fire anybody, you know, don't fire Jimmy Kimmel. You should fire Martin Bashir and fire Alec Baldwin for saying really insensitive stuff like this that we've covered tonight. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, but they get a pass because they have the right letters next to their name, so.
Right, exactly. Well, Doug, thanks for joining us on my solo show. I was glad to have you.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I appreciate it. Anytime.
We're definitely going to have you on again. And thanks, everybody, for sticking with me through all this. You're listening to Breaking Beltway. I come to you every Tuesday night on BreakingBeltway.com and the iTunes store. You have to download the podcast app and subscribe, and you'll be able to hear me any Tuesday. And thanks. I'll see you next week.
Just as I thought it was going all right, I found out I'm wrong. The same, it's just a shame, that's all. I could say day and you'd say night, tell me it's black when I know that it's white. Always the same, it's just a shame.